Hello, friend. This is Pat Boone welcoming you to Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek.
This is Dina Martin, hoping you'll stay tuned for Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek. Coming up next, right here on 1420 AM, The Breeze.
This is Regis Philbin. Please join my friend Greg Van Beek for Nostalgia Radio Time.
Go, Joe, go!
A mix of some of the finest music from legendary performers and personalities of the greatest generation, along with complete vintage broadcasts from the golden age of radio. Mix it together, and that's Nostalgia Radio Time. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the 300th consecutive weekly episode of Nostalgia Radio Time. Yes, it's a big show tonight, and we're glad to have you be a part of it. We're going to do something a little different. We're going to look back at some of the many guest stars we had on this program since 2012, and we've had quite a roster of them looking back. We're going to feature some songs and some memories of their visits with us. Just a reminder, we have a little contest going for our 300th episode. If you'll go over to our Facebook group, or you'd like to email us or tweet to us, send us your anniversary greetings, and you're eligible to win a CD prize from the NRT Archives. All you have to do is email us at nostalgiaradiotime@yahoo.com, go over to our Facebook group and post on our Facebook group wall, or go to Twitter and tweet to us at 140 characters or less at NRT on WJUB. The winner will be notified via whichever method they contacted us. So good luck to everybody. We're going back to May 20th of 2012, when we had a real big name on the program, Peggy King. She was a big star back in the 1950s, got her start on the George Gobel TV show, and did some television commercials that were of note. Here's a cut that she did on one of her albums, Make Yourself Comfortable. Now here's Peggy King and the Percy Faith Orchestra with Make Yourself Comfortable.
Make yourself comfortable. Ooh, make yourself comfortable. Ooh, make yourself comfortable, baby. Ooh, I've got some records here to put you in the mood. Changers automatic, baby. Sweetheart, we've hurried through the dinner, hurried through the dance, left before the picture show was through. Why did we hurry through the dinner? To leave some time for this, to hug a hug and kiss a kiss. Now take off your shoesies, dear, and loosen up your tie. I've got some kisses here, let's try one on.
Make yourself comfortable.
I'll turn the lights low while you make yourself comfortable. Baby. To hug a hug and kiss a kiss now. Ooh.
Take off your shoesies, dear, and loosen.
Make yourself
your
comfortable.
Tie.
Yourself comfortable. Ooh, I'll turn the lights low while you make yourself comfortable, baby.
Nostalgia Radio Time, Peggy.
Thank you so much, Greg. I'm happy to be here.
I have to ask you about the man whose TV show really put you on the map, and that's the lonesome George Gobel. I remember him best years later. Of course, he was on the Hollywood Squares. But
George was the dearest, kindest, sweetest man in the entire world. I can sum it up for you in one thing that he said to me, one sentence. After we'd been on the air about 3 or 4 weeks, he said to me, he actually said to me in makeup, when we were in makeup, you know, getting made up, he said, "You know," he said, "you are really getting to be a big star."
Now there's an understatement. She certainly was a very big star by that time, actually performing at the Academy Awards in 1955. Our next guest was Thisbe Voss, who's had several great successes on recordings. This was her first album she was promoting back on June 25th of 2012. Here she is with the Gershwins, "Our Love Is Here to Stay."
You credit the First Lady of Song as a main inspiration, Ella Fitzgerald. How did you first discover Ella?
You know, I think it was actually probably in Holland. I think it was on a TV commercial. Because when I was listening to radio when I was young, they didn't actually play that much jazz, you know, on the radio, at least not the stations that, you know, we had on in our house. But then I think I heard a TV commercial, maybe like a tea or coffee commercial, and they, you know, played some of these jazz songs, and so I was like, wow, what's this? And I started looking up what the songs were and, you know, trying to find out, like, who sang them and stuff. And then I came across Ella Fitzgerald, and, you know, over the years, you know, I got to kind of hear more of her work, and, you know, she's definitely my favorite singer. I like a lot of the classic jazz singers, but she's definitely my one favorite singer.
Well, one of her great recordings was the Gershwin classic, "Our Love Is Here to Stay," and her influence on your intonation and phrasing is quite evident on your equally fine recording of this standard.
Thank you. Yeah, I actually, not a whole lot of people notice that, but I actually tend to sort of almost steal quite a bit of phrasing that she does.
Sure.
Just because it's so great, you know, and I don't, you know, I don't really sound exactly like her, but she definitely has inspired me a lot, and there's certain, you know, parts where she phrases something a certain way, and I tend to get pretty close to that.
Well, why don't we give that a listen? Here's Thisbe Voss, that's Thisbevos, here on Nostalgia Radio Time.
It's very clear, our love is here to stay. Not for a year, forever and a day. The radio and the telephone and the crazy movies that we know may just be passing fancies, and in time may go. But oh my dear, our love is here to stay. Together we're going a long, long way. In time the Rockies may crumble, Gibraltar may tumble. Our love is here to stay.
to stay together.
On November 17th of 2012, we were joined by John Mills, son of Donald Mills of the legendary Mills Brothers. Here he is talking about the Mills Brothers' classic hit, Paper Doll.
It's quite possibly the most famous of all the Mills Brothers' hit recordings is Paper Doll, which dates back to 1943 in the war years when it sold an astonishing 6 million copies. And it was actually the B-side of the record, the A-side being I'll Be Around. Can you give us a little background on this tune or some of your personal thoughts on it?
Yeah, you know, Paper Doll was written, I believe, by Johnny Black. He was famous for having written many years before Dardanella, I think, if I'm not messing that name up. Again, you know, there's songs, you know, that I'm not so much familiar with, but I have a great admiration for successful songwriters. I always felt that when they took Paper Doll and looked it over, it wasn't really something that they were that keen on. But as with all the songs that they did, they ended up kind of, you know, working up their own arrangement on it, and that kind of made it, you know, made it sit right for them. And as you said, it was the B-side. I'll Be Around was a great song, man. Still to this day, one of my favorite. The story goes, you know, that, you know, when records are released, they had an A-side and a B-side, which kind of let the disc jockeys know that the record companies had kind of hoped that the A-side was going to be a hit. And along the way, some disc jockey flipped the record over and played Paper Doll, and it took off, man. And, you know, it sold 6 million copies in its first release. And, you know, that's pre-internet, pal.
Right, right. Well, let's give it a spin on the show. How about that?
All right, Greg.
I'm gonna buy a paper doll that I can call my own. A doll that other fellows cannot steal. And then the flirty, flirty guys with their flirty, flirty eyes will have to flirt with dollies that are real. When I come home at night, she will be waiting. She'll be the truest doll in all this world. I'd rather have a paper doll to call my own then have a fickle-minded real-life girl. I guess I had a million dolls or more. I guess I've played the dog game for and all. I just quarreled with Sue. That's why I'm blue. She's gone away and left me just like all dolls do. I'll tell you boys, it's tough to be alone. And it's tough to love a doll that's not your own. I'm through with all of them. I'll never fall again. Say, boy, what you gonna do? I'm gonna buy a paper doll that I can call my own. A doll that other fellows cannot steal. And then the flirty, flirty guys with their flirty, flirty eyes will have to flirt with dollies that are real. When I come home at night, she will be waiting. She'll be the truest doll in all this world. I'd rather have a paper doll to call my own than have a fickle-minded real-life girl.
On April 27th of 2013, we're joined by a very dear friend of mine, Barbara Rosine, a very talented jazz singer who has a great affinity for the music of the 1920s and 1930s, and is the girl singer with the current incarnation of the Harry James Orchestra. Here she is talking about a cut titled Do What You Did Last Night from her album Nice and Naughty. A good example is the song Do What You Did Last Night, which could be naughty depending on how you perceive it, but in the end all is revealed as purely innocent, or so it seems.
Really about dancing.
Right. That's what's so great about so many of the songs from the 1920s. They're well written and thought out and full of clever double entendres like this.
Well, you know, I always think it's funny when I meet, you know, younger people who are into the music, and they think, you know, sex started somewhere in the 1970s, when really this was a very sexy time, and it was the pre-code Hollywood days when, you know, things actually were sexier than even in the 40s.
Oh, I definitely agree with you on that, Barbara. I just picked up a set of Carol Lombard films from the 1930s, from the pre-code era, and she was one of the most beautiful and glamorous actresses of the 1930s. Definitely one of my favorites.
She's one of my favorites, for sure.
So let's give a listen to Do What You Did Last Night from your new CD, Nice and Naughty, shall we?
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Barbara Rosine on Nostalgia Radio Time.
Down in Noseyville Town, people love snooping around. Everything you do gets found out, and I know what I'm talking about. I've heard old Sister Jones asking Brother Wright, Deacon, can you do what you did last night? Sure do feel improved, made my spirits move. Won't you do what we did last night? Good old Uncle Joe had an awful fright when he tried to do what he did last night. Almost broke his back, neighbors heard it crack, trying to do what he did last night. Honey, duplicate what you did last night. Sure was up to date what you did last night. You can call on me, even have my key, if you do it like you did last night. And tired when you mess around. Rest your hat and coat and pull that shade on down. Anybody calls, we're out, that's all. Doing what we did last night. Last night, as I'm feeling kind of tight, you can lower the light so we can do what we did last night. I mean, so we can dance like we did last night.
On July 20th of 2013, our special guest was Tony Bambino, a very talented vocalist who has a great affinity for the music of Al Jolson. In fact, he even sounds like Al Jolson, if he puts his mind to it. Here's his recording of one of Jolson's songs, There's a Rainbow Round My Shoulder. I know you headline the International Al Jolson Society conventions on a regular basis, and though you're not known as an impressionist, you have received worldwide critical acclaim for your uncanny vocal impression of the great Jolson. How did you first discover Jolie?
Well, it's always been my honor to be able to pay tribute to Jolson. It is my one true impression. I've been doing it since I'm a kid. And, you know, the Jolson Society was founded back in 1950, a couple of months before Jolson passed away. And it still exists today, 63 years later. Now, I saw the Jolson story on television in New York on WOR television, Channel 9, when they used to run the Million Dollar Movie. And they would play a movie several times each day and play it for a week straight. And I saw it when I was a little kid, and Jolson's voice has been with me ever since. But the Jolson Society, I do appear at a couple of their conventions every year. It's a labor of love, of course, for my love of Jolson's voice. I think he was great. And they have the website jolson.org, which is probably the best website devoted to any entertainer.
Well, this seems like the perfect segue into your recording of one of Jolson's greatest hits, There's a Rainbow Round My Shoulder. So without further ado, here's Tony B on Nostalgia Radio Time.
There's a rainbow round my shoulder and a sky of blue above. How the sun shines bright, the world's all right, 'cause I'm in love. There's a rainbow round my shoulder and it fits me like a glove. Let it blow, let it storm, I'll be warm, 'cause I'm in love. Hallelujah, how the folks will stare when they see that diamond solitaire. My own, my baby, she's gonna wear. There's a rainbow round my shoulder and a sky of blue above, and I'm shouting so the world will know that I'm in love. My own, my baby, she's gonna wear. There's a rainbow around my shoulder and a sky of blue above, and I'm shouting so the world will know I'm in love. Baby, I'm in love. There's a rainbow around my shoulder, I'm in love.
Wow, that was fantastic, Tony. What a great voice you have.
Well, thank you, my friend. Of course, that's my natural voice. But a wonderful, wonderful song. You know, big hit for Jolson. He's listed as one of the writers.
On November 30th of 2013, Nostalgia Radio Time celebrated its 100th episode. 100 weekly episodes, I should say. We actually started out as a monthly series back in 2009. And for that special program, which kicked off the Christmas music that year, we had none other than Regis Philbin as my special guest for the entire hour. And I have to say, I was more than a little on edge when I was waiting for Regis's call to interview him. Here was a man who has spent more hours on television, I think, than just about anybody else. If I'm not mistaken, he's in the Guinness Book of World Records. He racked up that many hours on the tube. And during his 50 years on the television talk shows, he interviewed every big name you could think of. And here I am, turning the tables to interview him. Certainly no pressure there. Here's an excerpt from our show.
You know, Greg, you have been a good friend, and I will never forget the copy of the visit that Bing Crosby made on the Joey Bishop show. And Joey asked Bing to sing a song to Regis because, you know, I used to walk, Greg, every day for about 45 minutes with Joey Bishop up Vine Street in Hollywood, up to Hollywood Boulevard and back to our station. And when you walk and talk with somebody for 3 years, it gets down to what did you want to be when you were a kid. And as a kid, I told him, my God, every night at around 9:30 on WNEW here in New York, which was the big station at the time, they'd have a half hour of Bing Crosby. And just the sound of this man's voice and the way he sang those songs, it just gave me joy. And I was just a kid, 7, 8 years old, and I never forgot it. And so one day in our walk, I said to Joey, you know, I got down to, what did you want to be when you were a kid? And Bishop said I wanted to be a comedian. I used to stand on the street corners of Philadelphia when I was 10 years old and just tell jokes, and people would fall down laughing, and I became a comedian. And a pretty good one, too. I mean, he was involved in the Frank Sinatra Rat Pack times and all that. And,
sure.
And what did you want to be, Regis? I said, well, I never told anybody this, but when I was 7 or 8 years old, I fell in love with Bing Crosby on the radio and followed him all through his career, the movies, everything. Kraft Music Hall, and I just loved him. Well, anyway, 3 months later, there's Crosby on the show, and they wanted Bing to sing, but they were all afraid to ask him because it was a talk show. But he said, well, Joey said to Bing, this is your biggest fan. Why don't you sing Tura Lura Lura to him? And Crosby turned, looked at me, and sang Tura Lura Lura. Well, it was, I mean, I couldn't believe where I was, you know. It was just fabulous. And then Bishop hadn't had enough. He said, now, Regis, you know all the Crosby songs. Sing one to Bing. And so I sang Pennies from Heaven, never thinking that I should get a recording of it or anything like that. And so for years, I was without that until one day you sent me a recording of that particular show and the singing. And I can't thank you enough for that, Greg. I'll never be able to thank you enough for that. I've played with so many people over the years, and they've loved it.
And it certainly was my great pleasure and honor to give something back to Regis, something so meaningful to him, and from that developed a friendship. We're taking a trip down memory lane on this, our 300th episode of Nostalgia Radio Time. 300 weeks in a row you've joined us, and for some of you, you've been there from the beginning. I'm very grateful. Those of you who've joined us more recently, these are some of the excerpts from interviews we've done on the program in the past, such as this one with jazz vocalist Brigitte Zary. We had her on the program back in January of 2014, and she's done several highly acclaimed albums. She works very closely with Paul Schaefer as her musical accompanist on most of the albums, and of course Paul Schaefer was the band leader on Late Night with David Letterman for so many years on CBS television. Here's an excerpt from our conversation with Brigitte, where she talks about a Johnny Cash song, of all things.
Johnny Cash, of course, is another one of my influences. The reason why I did the Walk the Line song, which is taking people, they're like, wow, that was a surprise. First of all, I've never done covers, and then I'm doing a Johnny Cash song. So it's catching people off guard. But there's a story behind that. Would you like to know?
Absolutely. That was one of my questions.
I told you, while I'm driving, I'm going to be a step ahead of you.
That's good. I hope you're not a step ahead of the stoplights, though.
I hope so, too. I got to keep my eyes open. But my mom was, do you know the Johnny Cash movie that came out with Joaquin Phoenix?
Yes, I do. Great movie.
Fantastic movie. So fantastic that I was forced to see it by my mother at least 100 times because she fell madly in love with it. And every time that it would come on, she would make us all sit down and watch it. So she would stay at my sister's house, Marcel, in Boca. And then when it would come on there on HBO or whatever, my mother would make them watch it. And then she would come here to visit me in New York, and when it would come on here, she'd make me watch it. So it was like it's a running joke in the family, like whatever house my mother was in, did she make you watch Walk the Line, you know?
Right.
And the song would come on, and she would just freak out. She loved that song. She adored Johnny Cash, as we all do. And I did it as a gift to her. I said, you know what, I got to cover this song and give it to my mom as a gift. And she passed away during the recording of the song, so I didn't get to, and I kept it a secret. I didn't even tell her, so I didn't even get to play it for her or anything.
I'm sure she has heard it and is smiling from above.
I hope so. I hope you're right.
It's just beautiful.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the air.
On April 5th of 2014, I was very fortunate to have as my special guest country singer Susie Boggess on the program, and she's branched off into several different genres of music. She had a nice pop standards album, which with sort of a jazz feel, and one of the songs on that album was a cut called Burning the Toast.
Well, I'd like to go back and talk a bit about your swing album, which has been a longtime favorite with listeners here on 1420 AM The Breeze, especially the song Burning the Toast. It's such a clever little song with a nice message behind it.
Yeah, that is so cute and sweet. That's written by April Barrows, who is my favorite swing writer of this age. She's just a fantastic writer, and she writes everything that, you know, that feels like it's back in time. And she takes all that painstaking effort to make sure that every word is a beautiful rhyme, and you know, she uses a lot of clever words from that sort of sound back in time, and so you really get the feeling that this is a song that was written long ago. I love that song. It's such a happy lover's song, and there's so many sad lover's songs. So you know, you don't get quite as many as ones where you're appreciating the fact that you're with somebody that you're really happy to be with.
When you choke the words, I do. We found ourselves a two-room flat, pots and pans and a pussycat, and we cuddle and we coo like a couple of lovers do. And every morning I'm burning the toast for you. I'm only happy if I'm doing the most I can for you. The coffee's weak, but my love is strong.
It was my honor to welcome the daughter of Dean Martin to the program on July 19th of 2014, Dina Martin. Here Dina talks about a virtual duet she recorded with her dad for her album Destination Moon. It was recorded in the legendary Capitol Records Studio A, where your father recorded so many of his best love hits. What an amazing experience that must have been for you.
It was unbelievable, Greg, because imagine... I'm trying to think how many years ago it was that I went there for the first time to watch my dad record his very first number one hit, Memories Are Made of This. And, and I sat there, it was incredible. And I remember, walking down the hallway with my mom and you know, looking at the photographs that were along the wall, all these big black and white photographs of my dad and, you know, Peggy Lee and Keeley Smith and Bobby Darin and Nat King Cole. And, you know, it was just an experience that I will never forget. Then going in to Studio A and sitting down and seeing the whole orchestra, you know, and my dad up there on the podium. And I sat on a little, it was like an aluminum, well, some kind of very cold chair. My feet didn't even touch the floor. And I watched my dad, you know, and he was so funny with them. And then, you know, and they would say, okay, here we go. And they would, you know, one, two, three, and they counted it off. And then my dad started to sing. And then the backup singers, they started to sing. And all of a sudden they said, okay, you know, that's it. We've got a record. And so all of these years, and that became his first number one hit, Memories Are Made of This.
Sweet, sweet memories you gave of me. You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Take sweet, sweet one fresh and tender kiss.
The memories you gave of me.
Add one stolen night of bliss.
The memories you gave
one girl, one boy, some grief, some joy, memories are made of this.
The memories you gave
don't forget a small moonbeam.
You can't beat the memories you gave.
Fold in lightly with a dream.
The memories you gave me.
Your lips and mine, two sips of wine. Memories are made of this.
The memories you gave me.
Then add the wedding bells, the one house where lovers dwell. Three little kids for the flavor. Stir carefully through the days. See how the flavor stays. These are the dreams you will savor.
With
sweet, sweet
his blessings from above.
You can't beat the memories you gave to me.
Sir, it generously with love.
You can't beat the memories you gave me.
One man, one wife, one love through life. Memories are made of this.
You can't beat the memories you gave me.
Memories are made of this.
And all these years later, I'm able to, you know, walk down that hall into Studio A and record and hear my dad's voice. And it was such an overwhelming, fantastic experience for me. Then after we recorded the song, and you know what, I don't know if you know this or not, but John, my handsome husband John, who's the producer of the album and actually all of my albums, found, I don't know how he did it, but he found the original handwritten Nelson Riddle arrangement of True Love that my dad recorded. So we went into the studio and it's amazing and record, you know, with, you know, all the, you know, fabulous musicians now, and recorded the track again. And then I went in and listened through my headset, you know, for my dad singing, and I'm listening to this, and I'm at Capitol Studios, and I'm holding the chart that my dad held, you know, it says Dean in the upper left-hand corner, and it was an overwhelming experience for me. I mean, it was really quite something. Can you imagine
that? It had to have been. It had to have been. It had to have channeled your dad all over again right there in the studio with you.
Yeah, it did. It did.
Looking back when I was small, to memories when snowflakes fall, with mom and dad, and I'm blessed for what they've given me.
I give to you,
and you give to me,
true love, true
love, so on and on,
it will always be
true.
Another one of the major highlights for me on the program was the time I got to interview Pat Boone, which aired on Halloween in 2015. There's nothing scary about this program, though. It was a sheer delight and honor to speak to this legendary performer. And here he gives us a little insight on a big hit recording he had of a novelty tune back in 1962, Speedy Gonzales.
Oh, yeah.
Which is such a fun song, you can't help but smile listening to it, especially when Mel Blanc does Speedy's voice.
Yes, Mel was the voice of a cartoon character, Speedy, and I heard that song first in the Philippines.
Oh.
And it was a hit by an American artist on RCA Victor, American artist named David Dante, or Dante. And yet it was not a hit in the States, it was just a hit in the Philippines. And when I heard it down there, I thought, boy, that should have been a hit in the States. So I brought his record home. I played it for Randy Wood of Dot Records, and then we did record it. A girl named I wrote the opening. It was a moonlit night in Old Mexico. I walked alone between some old adobe haciendas. I wrote that myself, and then changed several of the words along the way in the song. Robin Ward, who had a big hit of something last summer. She did the high voice of Rosita, and then Mel Blanc did the voice of Speedy, and it was so much fun to do, and I had to beg Randy Wood to let me record this song because he knew it had been released by David Dante on RCA, and if it didn't sell records, then maybe it was not a hit. I just knew it was a hit song, and it went to number one very appropriately, faster than any other record I ever made. Speedy Gonzales went right to number one. And it went to number one practically in every country in the world that played American music.
I meant to ask you, is Mel Blanc in the studio with you when you recorded that song?
No, no, he did his part, I don't know, separately. Back then, we weren't doing a lot of what they call punch-ins now, where you'd have all the voices and instruments on separate tracks, and you could punch in and do whatever you wanted. We just left it blank, oddly enough, for Mel Blanc. we left the spot open for him to record, and he did his at a different time. I'd love to have been there when he was doing, "Hey, Rosita, come quick. That is the cantina. They're giving green stamps with tequila." I'd like to have been in the studio when he was doing that, but I wasn't. So now in my live performances, I have to do it, as I just did.
You did a pretty good imitation of Mel Blanc.
Well, I had to. Have to. Yeah.
It was a moonlit night in old Mexico. I walked alone between some old adobe haciendas. Suddenly, I heard the plaintive cry of a young Mexican girl. Come home, Speedy Gonzales, away from Tannery Row. Stop all of your drinking with that floozy named Flo. Come on home to your adobe and slap some mud on the wall. The roof is leaking like a strainer. There's loads of roaches in the hall. Speedy Gonzales, why don't you come home? Speedy Gonzales, how come you leave me all alone?
Hey, Rosita, I have to go shopping downtown for my mother. She needs some tortillas and chili pepper.
Your dog is gonna have a puppy, and we're running out of coal. No enchiladas in the icebox, and the television's broke. I saw some lipstick on your sweatshirt, I smell some perfume in your ear. Well, if you're gonna keep on messing, don't bring your business back here. Speedy Gonzales, why don't you come home? Speedy Gonzales, how come you leave me all alone?
Hey, Rosita, come quick. Down at the cantina, they're giving green stamps with tequila.
Love Letters in the Sand, which was a number one hit for 5 weeks in June and July of 1957, spending a total of 34 weeks on the charts. It was actually written in 1931, and while no recordings of the broadcast exist, logbooks show that Bing Crosby performed that song that year on his radio show for Cremo Cigars. His influence on your phrasing and vocal style is certainly evident on that recording, particularly in the whistling chorus.
Yeah, you know, Bing was my role model. I mean, he was the guy I wanted to be like, and I knew I couldn't imitate him. You know, nobody wants to be taken seriously as a singer. We'll just imitate somebody else. So I wanted my style, my approach to singing, though, to be somewhat reminiscent, because his always seemed so effortless, so casual, and yet right on time, right on pitch. He was my idea of the pluperfect pop singer. And so eventually Randy had me record it, and it had not been released when I made my first movie, Bernadine. Johnny Mercer wrote all the original music for that first teen musical, but we needed one more song, and so Randy proposed that we have me sing or use my recording of Love Letters in the Sand in the movie Bernadine. And so it didn't have anything to do with the story,
just me as a young kid in a meeting room by myself, just in a chair leaning back against the wall, singing this nostalgic song. And then we put it as a B-side on the record of Bernadine. Bernadine, the Johnny Mercer-written title song of my first film, it went to the top 10, sold well over a million records, and when it looked like it had peaked, the DJs flipped the record over to see what was on the other side, and when they started playing Love Letters in the Sand, the phones lit up and Never Quit. I mean, it was the B-side to start with, but it became the A-side, and we had two big million-selling singles on the one record.
On a day like today, we pass the time away, writing love letters in the sand. How you laughed when I cried each time saw the time take our love letters from the sand. You made a vow that you would ever be true, but somehow
Thanks for joining us for our 300th episode. Until next week, I'm Greg Van Beek saying, so long for now.